Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
And then I hear this demonic growl at the backside of my desk. I was so terrified, Aisha. I assumed that I had brought something home with me after partnering with the girl that did voodoo.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hey angels, make sure to head over to my website, aishachristina.com, to download my free guide on idolatry. I promise it's really going to bless you. If you are interested in preventing delay in your life and you want to get rid of certain idols, this is the guide for you. Click the link in the description box below.
Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Today, I'm so excited to finally have my girl, Naja, who, by the way, did my deliverance for me. Yeah, this is such a special moment to finally have her on the podcast and to actually be one of the first people to share her testimony on the podcast. So welcome to Quality Queen Control. Naja, how are you?
Thank you so much, Aisha. I'm so excited to even be here, to even have this discussion with you. You are such a joy. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So firstly, what I want to start with is a good old testimony, right? Like, tell the truth and shame the devil. So you guys are going to hear in Naja's testimony how she came from essentially new age witchcraft into becoming a woman of God and getting into Christianity. And so, Naja, take us back on your journey on how you arrived where you are right now.
Right. So I think the reason a lot of people kind of relate to my story is more so because I'm like a lot of the, I was like a lot of the lukewarm Christians who would go to church every Sunday. And then the rest of the week, there was no opening of my Bible. I didn't really have a relationship with God. And because of that, I did not understand how Satan disguised. I did not know ways to kind of recognize him so that I would keep certain doors closed. I had doors wide open. And like most of us did, you know, when we were lukewarm, we always associated with our astrology signs. And that's one thing that I did. And that's what led me into a deeper dive into New Age practices. And so it was something as simple as me looking up my horoscope and then that seducing spirit convincing me to go and look and see if there was someone discussing it on YouTube. And that's when I realized it was tarot card readings. And so that's kind of how it started. And I took a nosedive into that until I was obsessed, if I can use that word, obsession. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. So from there, I literally went into it where it was like, okay, a little bit of hesitation, but still not truly understanding the spiritual dangers of it. Because we hear people that say, okay, tarot is a no-no, you know, it's witchcraft, but nobody ever actually told us why and what the spiritual dangers were. So I just blindly began to become obsessed with it, watching it every day, waking up to it, going to sleep to it. It became one of those things where I started to connect on so many different levels to the people that were giving the readings. And that is what became the open door. And so I became subscribed to like over 50 people, like in an instant, to where that was all that was in my FYP. From there, those seducing spirits literally kind of just immediately came and seduced me to a T, like I never expected. I'm thinking it was benevolent, you know, influence that was talking to me in my sleep, convincing me that I should go and get my own tarot cards and learn how to read. And whenever you want to interject and jump in, please, you know, do. I'm going to keep talking unless you tell me if you got questions.
Okay, no, thank you for saying that, because sometimes I do feel like, but I don't want to cut them off.
No, definitely.
Yeah. Even with what you just shared just now, and I want to take this moment to say also that Naja is an author. She has a book that is so incredible that also talks about her testimony and her journey. So I highly suggest that you guys check that out. That's going to be down in the show notes. But I want to just stop right here and say that so many times we find ourselves being seduced by these spirits because, you know, whether it be like a relationship, we're looking for, a lot of the times it's us looking for guidance. Mm-hmm. I know that for me, it was definitely through that portal. Can you elaborate really quickly on what you mean by an open door for those that don't understand what that term means?
Yes. So basically in the spirit realm, we open spiritual doors or gates, I should say, to where if we participate in sin, it's like giving the enemy a legal right to come through that door and oppress us or to guide us, you know, to give intrusive thoughts, whatever it might be. It can come in so many different ways, but it's allowing the enemy to come in and directly influence you, your mind, your emotions, your will, which is your soul. They come in. So that is the reason why the Bible clearly says to us that we need to guard those gates so that we don't allow it in. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for elaborating on that, because it is so true. When I really started to learn about legal rights and, like, you know, my authority in Christ, and I'm still really on the journey as well, it has been a very big game changer for me. There are certain things that in my flesh that I was struggling with, like dealing with certain emotions that I was struggling with. And I catch myself, because I'm like, I don't want to open the door, but I'm not going to lie. Like, even in those moments, I still feel like I get even more frustrated sometimes, because it's like, I'm upset that I was even in that circumstance, because I understand the consequences of responding in a certain way. But I digress. Continue on with sharing your testimony.
Yeah, sure. So basically that was the first portion of the open door. That's what invited it in. I did share it with some family members that I was considering, you know, learning how to do tarot. And of course I got some pushback, but again, even my family, even as Christians, still didn't understand the spiritual dangers. So I did it anyway. I was one of those people that you could tell me something, but I had to learn for myself. I was hard-headed. So I did go to a metaphysical store that was close near my home, and it felt very awkward. I felt like I wasn't supposed to be there, but I still went ahead, and instead of purchasing tarot cards, I ended up purchasing some angel cards, which for most people, they assume that, oh, it says angel cards, it must not be as bad, right?
Yep.
So yeah. I take those cards home, and it just felt so foreign to me. It felt like it was forced. It felt like it was something I should not have been doing, but I did it anyway. After doing it, I did not, like I said, it just didn't feel right. So I left to go and throw it in the dumpster. I threw it away. And the one thing is that I threw them away, but I kept the door open. I continued to look at tarot readings on YouTube. So that would continue to allow that seducing spirit to continue to persuade me. Go get some more, you know, go deeper. You got the door open, so keep going. And so that's what I did. It wasn't long before I ended up going back. And this time I went back and I went harder. You know, I ended up getting tarot. I ended up getting different oracle cards, angel cards. And before you know it, I had about 10 decks. It was one of those things where, yeah, I would literally get up in the morning. I would do my reading, burn my sage or Palo Santo sticks, thinking or assuming that this is something that is protecting me, that is keeping my circle covered. I would literally even pray to Jesus before touching it, as if Jesus was going to be involved in protecting me from these things, which he was nowhere in sight whatsoever. Keeping that door open is also what allowed these familiar spirits to influence me in more ways than one on a physical level. I remember waking up one time out of my sleep, being startled out of my sleep, and I actually felt it or saw it. It was literally like a white cloud, like something had left my body.
Wow.
Whatever it was had entered me and it startled me and I woke up. It was, I remember that it was talking to me telepathically in my sleep. And when I woke up and saw it kind of like leave my body, I immediately closed my eyes and I was like, I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you. My whole body, keep in mind, was vibrating.
Whoa.
So whenever you, you know, hear anything about, you know, people saying, you know, raising your vibration, all this stuff, that's demon talk. Okay. It's demon talk.
Yep.
These demons, they literally vibrate on a certain frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. And the thing is, too, this is what, even to backtrack a little bit, when you mentioned you would wake up and like pray to God, pray to Jesus, and then read your tarot, that is such a common thing that happens, which just shows like how easy it is to be led into living a lifestyle of deception. I personally knew someone that admitted that to me, where she was like, oh, I read the Bible and I also do tarot, because she felt like it worked in correspondence with each other. See, the thing is, we know in the back of our minds, like growing up Christian, that like you were kind of cultured against this, obviously for a reason. So that's why you feel weird kind of doing it. But to make yourself feel better, you're like, all right, let me just pray anyway while I do what I do, because now I feel like I have the full picture. Now I feel like I could see my future and I think I'm believing in God also at the same time. Like, it really is so deceptive. And even burning sage. Sage is not getting rid or protecting you of any energy. It's inviting demons. It's summoning demons into yourself. And the thing about the new age that makes it so deceptive too is it never ends. It never ends. You're always going to have to do this ritual. You're always going to have to do this protection thing, all these different things. And it just leads you down a path where you just keep doing more and more and more. Now you're thinking you're ascending into the third dimension to become an alien. Like, it's a lot.
Yes. Oh my God. That even goes into, you know, a part of my story, which I'll share as well. But I was looking, there was literally a scripture that God had just given me where I think it's 2 Corinthians 11:3, where it talked about how the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. So your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ. Okay.
Talk about it.
Having Christ and being a believer, it's simple. All of the extra burning of this to get rid of that, believing in rocks in order to bring or attract money and love, doing all of these works to be protected or to gain things. Literally, it's as simple as you having a relationship with him and praying to him. And that's where you need to know that Satan is involved. If all this stuff is involved, it's not what's needed. It's not necessary. So I basically, from that point, I was making jewelry with natural stones. I would go to America's Mart, which is here in Atlanta, for buyers, and spend all this money, hundreds of dollars, on making the stones, whether it was chakra bracelets to balance your chakras, or, you know, all of these different meanings behind these stones. And I was selling them to any and everybody. They were children, you know, men were a big, you know, consumer as well. But it was one of those things that I felt brought me closer to the Lord, because I felt that I was connected to the supernatural. And the one thing that we don't recognize when we are lukewarm and we don't really have any supernatural experiences, we don't know how to decipher what is the Holy Spirit communicating with us supernaturally and what's demonic. So any supernatural experience, we are relating it to, oh, this must be God. And that's kind of what I was experiencing. And so I'm like, oh my God, you know, this is the closest I've ever been to God, is what I was feeling and experiencing. I started having all these different physical, what they would call, it's almost like they call it an awakening, where you have all these different experiences, physical experiences, where my foot would heat up, my right ear started ringing the more that I started inviting these spirits in. I would see like static figures, or I would see different, like, you know, I would know there was something there in the room, but I just accounted it to, oh, it's my angels or my spirit guides, as they call them. And the enemy started bringing people into my life that could attest to what I was practicing, or to co-sign it, to make me feel better about what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Had never met a psychic before in my life, but yet befriended a psychic who claimed to be also Christian.
Don't they all? Isn't that so yes. funny?
It's
they
so
all
weird.
Say, I literally remember that when, you know, not even to interject too much, but it's just like, I just remember, unfortunately, being deceived and ended up in a situation like that. And that lady, you know, I told her, because I wanted to get it off my chest, I felt guilty. And I was like, I'm a Christian. And she was like, me too. Mm-hmm. I believe in God. Mm-hmm. See, I have a cross right here. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, well, I guess God is in it. So, you know, continue.
See, that's the deception, because even a lot of the people that I subscribe to, that I was watching do tarot, had, you know, a statue of Jesus, you know, behind them, or the Archangel Michael, you know. And so you are like, oh, okay, so they believe in Jesus too. So
yeah.
And they end up causing you to believe in these ascended masters, and that Jesus was an ascended master, you know, all this stuff. And you get into this rabbit hole to where you believe one thing and then they link until you go deeper and deeper. And as you mentioned, believing that you're an alien, I believe that I was a starseed and came from a different planet, and we just did not connect with everyone. That's why we, you know, stood out from everyone else. And it was so much deception. And the further that you go, the deeper you get. And so one of the visitations that I also had in my sleep, they were communicating with me telepathically, telling me that I was going to be an energy healer. At that time, I had no idea what an energy healer was. So I remember asking, even in my sleep, what is an energy healer? And they didn't answer. But yet when I woke up, I immediately went to YouTube. What is an energy healer? And that's when Reiki popped up. Okay. So I immediately got emotional, because I'm thinking, I'm meant to be a healer. I'm going to help yeah. people. mm-hmm. Right. So without hesitation, I immediately sought to find a Reiki master so that I could get certified in becoming a Reiki healer. Without any, you know, issues, found the person immediately, signed up for her class. It was just a one-on-one thing where they teach you about where it came from, the practice of it. And then the second time is when you come and you get your attunements. I don't know why that did not sit weird with me. The attunements were just rituals.
Attunements?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
An attunement is basically where you are going through a ritualistic practice where they invite in the spirit that assists you in this false healing. So she asked me if I wanted to sit outside or if I'd rather sit inside. I said, hey, let's go outside in nature. So I'm sitting in a chair. I had to keep my eyes closed, which I have no idea everything that she was doing over me. Okay. So we had to have our eyes closed. But I do know that she was drawing Japanese symbols over my head. She was drawing them in my hands, blowing into my hands, basically calling on and channeling this spirit to embody me. So it's kind of like a counterfeit Holy Spirit. You're inviting in this spirit that's supposed to assist you in this false healing, when in turn, when you are actually performing it on people, you're opening up their spirit. You're opening up the energy centers of their body so that these demonic spirits can come in and wreak havoc.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. And you know what? It makes me think really quickly about the fact that I can imagine someone hearing this, and the new age is so deceptive, guys. It will really make you think, like, you get so offended thinking, I'm actually doing something good. How dare you try and make me seem like I'm a bad person?
Yes.
The devil masquerades as an angel of light. Mm-hmm. Not all things that appear to be healthy and all these different things. Like you, when we were on our deliverance call, you literally told me, like, even if you align yourself, a lot of the times with even going plant-based, it turns into going to shamans, spiritual gurus, visiting herbalists, and you start to go down a path where you're doing ayahuasca in the middle of the woods, thinking that you're getting closer to God. And again, to your point, it's like you find one thing and then it links to the next thing and then the next thing and the next thing. And you think inherently, I'm not doing anything wrong. Just like, I'm not sure if you ever heard of, I could be getting this word wrong, somatic, like healing. It's basically like, it looks, it's definitely like counterfeit Holy Spirit, but it's like somewhat and a mixture of like New Age Reiki, where it's like a person will be over you, like let's say over your kneecap, and you'll feel like a release of pain or something. And you start like, it's a very emotional experience where you start crying and screaming. You want to know how I know about it? You want me to keep it real? I watched the movie, what is it with Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively called It Ends With Us? Because it started with a book by Colleen Hoover called It Ends With Us. So I remember Justin Baldoni from Jane the Virgin. And I was like, oh, I forgot he is so fine. I was like, let me check on Justin. So I was looking and I know that he's of a different faith. He's of this faith called Baha'i, which I don't know what that is. And they believe in the somatic healing and stuff. And I saw him like laying on a table. This is on his Instagram as we speak. And I saw him laying on a table and a guy was like over him and he was like crying and like whatever. So to people, again, when you are lost and you're searching for answers, these become seducing spirits. I'm not sure if you, and forgive me if you're repeating yourself, but how you initially even bothered getting into the new age. What was the initial cause of that? Was it a broken relationship? What was it that made you initially curious about getting into this life?
One thing I can say that what led me to actually go and look at my horoscope that night, that I can remember it vividly starting, was I had gotten into like a confrontation with a family member. And so I was already like emotionally just vulnerable because I was upset. But the reason that I ended up going and looking was because I also wanted to determine if me and another person was compatible by looking at their sign and comparing the two. And that was one thing that I consistently also looked at when I was looking at the tarot, was the comparison between this person's horoscope and mine. And that led to the twin flames. And looking at those twin flame readings actually drew a person from my past into my life that was an actual twin flame. And that situation only lasted for 3 months. And so I was so hurt and bothered by that. I even went deeper into, you know, the emotional pain, which led me deeper into New Age. I just dived even deeper after that.
Oh my gosh. You see how layered this is already. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I never got into the twin flame thing, but can you explain it? Because I never really understood what that meant.
Mm-hmm. It's basically like, again, everything is counterfeit on the side. It mimics something that God would try to, you know, create for or have for us. I don't even necessarily believe that soulmates is necessarily anything biblical either. But I do believe that kingdom spouses, people that God has chosen for our, to be linked to us for purpose, where our purposes are to be together. The twin flame is like the opposite of that, where it's like the demons or the sins that you kind of share link up together. So if I have a spirit of perversion that I'm battling with, and this person also battles with the same spirit of perversion, then the idea is that the two of you are one soul that's split. And so when you come back together with this person, one person may be a runner and the other person is the one that's trying to get the other to wake up and recognize, hey, I'm the other part of your soul, you know, and there's always going to be a runner. So it's like, no matter what they do, if they curse you out, if they don't want to be with you, if they're married, if they're in another relationship, you're supposed to still go after them to try to wake them up, to recognize that you are supposed to be with me. Yes. It's so toxic. It is so toxic.
I see. Thank you so much for explaining that, because now it actually all makes, I think there was even a show about this, by the way, on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Like there were like camps and stuff like dedicated to bringing together these types of people. But yes, I'm cultish. Sorry for all the tangents and everything, but yes, continue, please. This is so interesting.
No. But yes, it's very cultish. The whole twin flame thing, that as far as how the show was set up, most people are not in a group of people that are dealing with the twin flames. It's usually like an individual journey that people are doing, and they're being led by the readings that they're watching on YouTube. But also, so aside from, you know, getting Reiki certified, another person that I got connected to was a celebrity, because I've been a makeup artist for 17 years. And so I've done a lot of like acting headshots. And so this person, and people always say, why don't you say who that person is? I'm just haven't been led to say that, but she is, she's in the industry, and I was doing her makeup for her headshots. And because I had all of this stuff that I was connected to, I could also tell when someone else was also doing the same thing. There was a certain level of like, your bodies would tingle, vibrate. The demons would kind of like be talking to each other. And so she was already like way deeper than me into this. I was like going into this head first without really any knowledge of what I was doing. She has been doing it for years. And so she invited me to one of her mystical dance classes. Did not know what that was, but when she invited me, I was just excited that she was inviting me. So I, you know, went to this mystical dance class. When I went, there was probably about maybe seven other girls that were there. We were sitting in a circle. There was an altar in the middle of the floor. Sage on the altar, her assistant would get up and sage around all of us, sage around the room. And the whole purpose of mystical dance is where you are to dance and allow the goddess that they're summoning to kind of take over, and you are allowing that goddess to embody you while you're dancing around the room. It sounds crazy, right? I didn't
know
this.
It's kind of like catching the Holy Spirit and like shouting, but that's right. Like the counterfeit version.
Listen, the crazy thing is that they also had some of the Oracle cards. And so we were to partner with one of the people. And we each had an Oracle card, but we also had to do what they call almost like you're gazing into each other's eyes, and you have your hands palm to palm over each other's hands, and you're facing each other kind of like, you know, Indian style. It was very awkward, very weird. And I just so happened to get partnered with a person that does voodoo. So we already know, right? Not that this person had, you know, demons any worse than the ones I had already conjured up, but I didn't know any better, right? And so she basically, you know, she was sweet, whatever the case may be. But at the end of this, I was partaking, but I just didn't feel like I belonged. It was like I was forcing myself to be in the midst of these things. The next day I go home that morning I get up to do my routine of doing my tarot, and I have my sage burning and everything. And then I hear this demonic growl at the backside of my desk. I was so terrified, Aisha. I assumed that I had brought something home with me after partnering with the girl that did voodoo.
That's what I would think too. You did this to me. Why'd you partner with this girl?
Right. While I'm sitting there, right, conjuring up demons, doing tarot. But I text the celebrity and told her that I think that, you know, there's something that followed me home and that I was partnered with the girl that did voodoo. And she probably was thinking like, girl, you're crazy. She didn't even respond. So, you know, here we are with that. But mm-hmm. I continued on. Another incident of different things that would occur as well is that it was, well, let me rewind, because before going into this, God had supernaturally given me different things that had occurred in order to stop me from doing what I was doing. And I ignored it. I actually said it was the devil. One time I was in my kitchen, I was cooking and I had Pandora playing. The music changed from R&B to a sermon. And the sermon was actually speaking against the practices. And I just thought it was weird. Okay. Turned it off. Didn't pay any attention. Another time, like the very next week, I'm in my car and the car that I used to have didn't have like the Bluetooth access. So I had this little device you plug into the, what is it? The cigarette holder thing. And it will allow you to connect. Mm-hmm. So you have to turn your station to one of those empty stations in order to connect to your Bluetooth. So it was on an empty station where it's just like the, you know, the white noise. All of a sudden I could hear a voice like creeping in, like getting louder and louder and louder. And it was another sermon. And it was another sermon and he was speaking against the practices again.
Wow. Whoa.
Right.
What are the chances?
Exactly. And I still turned it off and was like, the devil's trying to keep me from getting closer into my purpose, getting closer to God. And God was like, you know what? Okay, I warned you, right? I'm taking my hands off now because you're not listening. You deciding to be rebellious and not listening. And so I've never in my, I'm 45 years old, but when I got into this, I was 40. Never in the 40 years of my life did I ever feel like I needed to wear crystals and do all this stuff in order to be protected. But at that point, I literally knew and could feel that the protection of God had been removed. I could sense it. I could feel it. And witches, and I used to say real witches, like with people that grew up in witchcraft. These were two Spanish women. It was like they could see the covering wasn't there. And these familiar spirits were telling them to target me. I went to a farmer's market. And I'm just in there, you know, walking around shopping, and an older woman, Spanish woman who worked there, saw me. And literally, when I tell you, she stopped like mid movement to stare at me and would not move for like 5 minutes. I'm literally looking at her like, what is happening? Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you looking at me? Right. Never seen anything like that before in my life. So I just kind of turned my back and walked the other way, didn't pay it any attention. The very next week, I'm at my daughter's school and there is another Spanish young lady behind me in the lobby of the school. And she was giving me that same like weird, wicked stare without breaking concentration. I again was like, okay, this is not coincidental. I reached out to a young lady that I knew was also practicing these things, asking her what was happening. Like, what is this? And she was like, girl, they were trying to put the evil eye curse on you. So I said, okay, what is that? And how do I, like, what am I supposed to do? Because that night I literally started to feel sick. And she said, you need to look and find a prayer online that will break the evil eye curse and let it play. Mm-hmm. So that next morning I let a YouTube video play that supposedly is to break the curse. And I have it playing again while I'm sitting at my desk doing tarot card readings. And the ceiling fan was on. The ceiling fan literally started while the prayer was going. It started shaking violently back and forth like a child was hanging from it and swinging back and forth. Listen, Aisha. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. I would think it would fall on me and like try and kill me.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever it was, I'm assuming it was, you know, a demonic spirit was troubled by the prayer. Okay. Mm. But either that, or I'm assuming at that time that the prayer was breaking whatever it was, because I felt better after the prayer.
You know, also really quickly, like when I think about the evil eye, I think about that blue.
Yes.
You see, you know what I'm talking about? A lot of people have it, and they even put it in like their Instagram bios. Some people have like that on their page. And I hate so much when I see something like that, because I feel like, oh my gosh, like I just looked at that. Like, did that do something to me? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't even want to see it. Like, is there like a way that even by like looking at that, you're kind of like somehow susceptible to like anything?
No. Okay. No, it's, okay. It's an idol. It's an idol. It's basically people putting their trust and faith in this image as if that's what's going to protect them, which is why they wear the evil eye on their bracelets. Or, you know, you may see some cultures that may actually wear a Kabbalah bracelet, which is like a red string around there. And even some celebrities actually do it, and they believe that it shields them from people that want to, you know, do harm to them. Mm-hmm. So, but of course, you know, you and I know now that the only one or only way that you can be covered and protected is from Jesus, by Jesus. So that, that experience was very, very traumatic for me, to say the least, because I'm thinking in my head, like, what am I doing? What am I going through right now? I feel like I'm getting close to God, but yet I feel like I'm now also in like visible to evil. It was just a kind of a weird feeling. These spirits also convinced me to go and purchase a baby kitten. So when you always see witches with cats, there's a reason for that. I feel like they harvest some of these demonic spirits as well. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Why cats? I don't understand.
I really can't tell you exactly why cats, but one thing I can say is that I went and got this cat, and it was very obvious that there was just something off with the cat from the start. It always wanted to, you know, bite and scratch and fight. And I would literally be laying on my bed, you know, just chilling, laying on my bed, or I could be asleep, and the cat would come and jump on my chest. And the minute it jumped on me, it was like a transfer of spirits that came off the cat onto me. And I immediately felt a spirit of lust that came on me the moment the cat jumped on my chest. Right. Yeah. So again, I can't explain what the, you know, what the demonic, you know, purpose is for having, but most of the people that I met that is involved in some form of witchcraft, they always had cats. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So all of this to say that I kind of just, it was a very short period of time. God knew that he was wanting me to go as deep into this, to gain as much wisdom in relation to the practices, because he knew that it wasn't going to be long before I ended up getting snatched back out. I had started sharing some of the ascension symptoms that I was experiencing on YouTube, thinking that I was connecting to God. I was no longer associating or saying Holy Spirit. I would always say Spirit. Mm-hmm. They convince you to drop holy. And whenever my ear would ring is how I would know that these spirits were like in my presence. Right. So I would say, Spirit, are you here? And my ear would start, it would be like low and then get louder and louder. Or if I went in the presence of someone who had protection, it would literally be digging, like almost like a digging in my ear with their nails to get away from these people. It was an experience where I felt like they were trying to protect me, when in actuality, it was the opposite. Mm-hmm. They were trying to get me away from those who were protected and covered by the Holy Spirit. So to get into kind of coming into realization that I was doing something wrong, as I was sharing all these things on YouTube, there was a young lady who came onto my YouTube channel, and she was, thankfully, I didn't have that many followers at the time. And she was harassing my channel, basically saying that the ascension symptoms that you're saying that you're having is demonic. Mm-hmm. It's not God. And she was harassing like every video. And I was quite offended. And I remember saying, why are Christians always saying this or saying that? And I was no longer associating myself with being a Christian. Didn't even realize I had gotten in that space. And
yeah, you know, really quickly, I want to say that is so real. Like when you... Because come to think of it, when I got into deception and was into the new age, I actually started to identify as like, I'm more of like a spiritual person than like a religious person.
Yes.
So that was my way of like separating myself from Christianity, because I felt like it was judged, because I did have a couple of my subscribers that would like message me and be like, astrology is demonic. And then they'd send me these scriptures and I was instantly offended. And I'm like, y'all are so weird. Like but I get it now. Yes,
absolutely. It's one of those things where it was like, I ultimately wanted to please the Lord. I thought that I was. So it wouldn't have taken much if God revealed to me that I was wrong. And that's kind of what happened. Like you said, I associate it with just being spiritual. So if anybody says to me, oh, I'm not religious, I'm just spiritual, I already know what it is. I already know what they're doing. But I humbly went before the Lord in my private time after seeing all these videos or comments of hers. And I just said to the Lord, like, you know, clearly all of these things that I'm experiencing supernaturally, I'm, you know, healing people. I convinced my parents to believe in Reiki and they purchased a Reiki table and all this stuff for me. I said, clearly all of this stuff is not happening and you're not in it. There's no way. I said, right. If I am in the wrong, you know, please reveal it to me. And I humbly did that because I didn't want to be in the wrong. And I can't tell you exactly what happened, but it was literally like a curtain fell. Like my eyes just opened, like the shades were removed. And I just immediately had this knowing that what I was doing was wrong. I just knew. And I said, oh my God, what have I done? What have I done? Immediately, I knew. And I didn't waste any time, like throwing everything out. I had hundreds of dollars worth of, you know, beads to make the crystals. I used to wear this big, like, clear quartz necklace around my neck, which for some odd reason disappeared. I have no idea what happened to it. But I threw everything out. Throughout the Reiki table, I ripped up my certification. I mean, anything that I could think of, because I was told that, okay, if you've done this, you got to get rid of it.
Right.
But immediately I didn't. I didn't start knowing that I needed to get rid of everything until I started getting attacked physically. And that was when this journey, like, literally took a complete turn, where it became obvious to me that everything the Bible talked about was true. It was like, oh my God. The sleep paralysis that I would experience was on another level. Okay. It was literally like, I'm sorry.
So one second. So just to help people also follow along. So you're saying God had revealed to you, okay, he lifted the veil from your eyes and said, okay, like what you're doing is wrong. Now you're starting to get attacked as you are trying to seek the things of the Lord.
So yes, basically the reason all that stuff happened was because, and I'll go in depth a little bit more in reference to my attacks, but the demons that I had invited into my life, these spirit guides that I thought were my angels, then revealed themselves. They were angry that I had turned my back to go to the truth. Because ultimately, Satan, his desire is to kill, steal, and to destroy, and to bring as many people into his kingdom and to go to hell and be eternally separated from Jesus Christ. That is his goal. So the moment that you come into realization that you are in deception and you turn to the truth, they're angry. They want to put as much fear in you and to, you know, try to get you to stop seeking the Lord. So the attacks, I mean, oh my gosh, the sleep paralysis was literally almost like Satan sitting on top of me is what it felt like. You gain so much fear. I'll just go into one of the attacks that I received, which was very brutal. I was so afraid, number one, that I couldn't use a restroom with the door closed. I was afraid to close my eyes, to wash my face in the shower. I just was full of fear. One night, now before going into that, several people that I was seeking to try and get help from did not know what to do. Regular churches did not understand or know how to stop a person that's being physically attacked by demons like this. They didn't know what to do. And so what do? I go to what I thought was what we see on the movies. I went to Catholic churches, assuming that they would be able to help me. I had some holy water. I had rosary. I'm praying the rosary. Nothing was happening because we know Catholicism is just not, you know, it's not God. And I get a lot of pushback from people who are Catholic that say, you know, otherwise. But I know after all of this, the idolatry that is associated with Catholicism is not God. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So praying to Mary is not going to do anything to stop demons. Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to help you. And so I went from church to church. Literally, as the sun goes down is when this immense like anxiety comes over me because I know that I'm about to start getting attacked. I couldn't sleep for months. My church didn't know what to tell me. They didn't. But yet I did go and see two reverends who sat with me, prayed with me, told me about the power of understanding praying in tongues. And I already knew how, but I just didn't know the power of it. I had already received the gift, but never used it. And so they basically instilled just that strength that I needed in order to believe who I was as a daughter of the King and to not allow the fear, because they feed off of the fear, to get to me. So before this happened one night, I had a cross around my neck. I was sleeping with the TV on because I was told that you needed to, you know, keep an atmosphere of praise in your home. And one night I forgot to turn that on. And so I wake up to being punched the air out of my chest, like literally like lose my breath punched in my chest in the middle of the night. That put so much fear in me. Another night, I did have on everything that I was supposed to. I was praying prayers that route demons, the whole book. I would read the whole book every night. Mm-hmm. I had on this little lamp in my room. I wake up, they would wake me up between like 1 and 3 in the morning, and immense fear and anxiety would come over me when I wake up because I would know they're in the room. I wake up and everything is off. The light is off. The television is black. And I knew that they had turned everything off in the room. I literally sat up, turned the TV back on, you know, turned the praise and worship music on. I laid there holding the cross around my neck until I dozed off. Aisha, it was literally like a horror movie, because as soon as I went into any form of sleep, mm-hmm. it was like I went into this vision, this trance of seeing the image of a woman. All I could see was the back of her head. And she like floated into my peripheral where I like saw her hair shake. I saw the back of her head. She was in front of a door. The door swung open. There was a person standing there. And because they saw her face, they literally like dried out and died. Almost like the movie The Ring. Oh. If you've seen The Ring before, it was just like, this is how I know that these movies are inspired by these demons. The people are inspired by these demons, because that's exactly what I saw. Aisha, she came out of the vision and immediately was on top of me.
I almost jumped out of my... No.
Yes, ma'am.
No.
She was on top of me to where, because I fell asleep with my hands holding the cross, she had these... Listen, you know how you see everybody with these long pointed nails, like the coffin nails? Her nails look just like that. She was digging them into the back of my hand, trying to get me to release the cross because I was holding on to it. And I couldn't move. I couldn't open my mouth to say anything because they muzzle your lips. And I'm saying in my head, Jesus, 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 King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I had to say it like maybe seven times before it released me. I jump up, I turn on my light, I grab my Bible. I just start singing and praising and worshiping and trying to get it to leave. But I could tell it was still in the room. I could see the static figure of this image like in front of my bedroom door. I guess it got tired of me praising and worshiping because I was like, there's no way you think I'm going to lay back down and go back to sleep. No way. I don't care if I have to stay up all night. It was probably 1 o'clock in the morning. I did not go back to sleep, Aisha. I sat up and just praised and worshiped. This image or whatever this was literally turned into like a ball of light and flew out of the room past me. But as it passed me, it was like the remnants of it coming close to me. My whole body was uncontrollable. It was shaking uncontrollably. I could not control my body. I had no control over it at all. I knew it was the spirit of fear, literally the spirit of fear. It is an actual demon. And Aisha, all I can say is the idea that people will have to be in the presence of things that make you feel like this for eternity was mind blowing. And that is the passion behind why I am so passionate about teaching this stuff, because I don't want anybody else to have to go through what I went through here on earth, let alone eternal. Like it was horrible. It was just, so it took months of me being attacked like this. Not being able to sleep. If I dozed off, they would tap me on my head. It was bad. Okay. My family didn't know what to do to help me. Imagine your father feeling like you're losing your child, going into a place of suicide or something trying to kill her and you can't even shoot it. You can't help. Like, that's like a very helpless feeling even for a parent. And that's kind of where my parents were. So thankfully, I did come out of that. The Lord did rescue me from all of that foolishness. And it was a consistency of me seeking his face. No matter how many times I would go to sleep and they would arrive, I just didn't give up. My faith got so strong from the young ladies teaching me about who I was. So that whenever I could feel it coming into the room, my legs and feet would start vibrating and they were moving up my body. I knew they were there. I would sit up to them and immediately say, you're not going to do this tonight. I command you to flee in the name of Jesus. And I would start praying in tongues and I would lay back down. They knew that it was no longer placing fear in me. And so that is when I started to notice a huge change where they would just stop like, okay, she's not afraid of us anymore. So they couldn't feed off that fear anymore. Thankfully, I just started sharing. The Lord told me to go online and to share my testimony. I thought that was going to be it. And he was like, no, ma'am, you're going to keep going back every week. And so it turned into a whole ministry, something I did not expect.
Yeah. And, you know, I think also in your testimony, you mentioned something about self-deliverance. Because you were not able to find anyone to help you with that deliverance. That really drew me to your story because, one, it's something that is pretty controversial in the Christian sphere where some people believe once saved, always saved. Or what do you think about even the term, if you are a believer, you can't be possessed, but you can be oppressed. That is a thing, right? So, and I feel like a lot of people don't even understand that. So it's like you can, and honestly, to me, they're one in the same. It's just two different words that are used because, again, these spirits, whether you are possessed or oppressed, can manifest physically. So what was your experience like, or what was that revelation that you had where you were like, I have to deliver myself? And did you have any physical manifestation symptoms?
So they were very, very minimal. I literally know that the Lord had his, like, the grace of God, because the type of things that I see when I do deliverance on other people that have dabbled in the things that I've done, their deliverance is always so dramatic. But mine's the self-deliverance, because I did not know who to go to, didn't have anyone to go to. I found so many different videos and stuff like that on YouTube. I would let them play and I would sense like certain things where my head would like slightly shake, like no. You know, like it was saying no, it didn't want to leave. Or I would go into this like staring and I could feel like something was staring out, like that was inside, that was staring out at what I was looking at. Different weird feelings like that, or I would yawn a lot, but no crazy manifestations. It's funny that you say the whole thing about, you know, Christians and being possessed or oppressed. I literally just did a video about this and just answered or did a stitch on TikTok of someone that says, if you're a Christian, you don't need deliverance. Like, all you need is Jesus. And so I had to stitch this because I'm really tired of people spreading these lies. Now, let me say this. Jesus can definitely deliver you with your faith, just you and him by yourselves without having an external person. However, Jesus did also tell us to go out and heal the sick and to cast out demons, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is a part of, in Matthew, Matthew 15, 26, the story where Jesus and the disciples come across the Canaanite woman who is asking for help for her possessed daughter. And he basically denied her at first because he's like, this is for the children. And you're a Gentile. You're not a believer. You're unclean. This is not for you. That being said, deliverance is for believers, not unbelievers. It is the children's bread. And the children's bread is healing. So for you to say that we shouldn't, Christians can't have a demon, that's untrue. You don't want to ever cast out a demon from someone who's not a believer because they're not going to maintain the lifestyle of righteousness. They don't know Jesus. So their lifestyle is automatically going to have them open for that demon to come back with spirits that are seven times more wicked because it's swept clean. There's no Holy Spirit, right? So the way that Christians get demons, we're not possessed. Possessed means that the demon can actually take over the actions of the person. But oppression or demonization means that the demon can affect your soul, your mind, you know, intrusive thoughts, how you think, things that you say, all those things, your will to do certain things and your emotions can be led and influenced by these demons. And so it houses in your soul, but the Holy Spirit is in your spirit. We're three part beings, just like God, you know, God, the Holy Spirit, you know what I mean? So it's like people don't understand that is why and how we have demons. Yeah. And it comes generationally as well as open doors that we do through sin.
Thank you so much for explaining that. Do you also believe in multiple deliverance sessions?
I do. And the reason I do is because I feel as though deliverance should be something that's like almost like a tune-up, like maintenance, because we are sinful beings. We are never going to be perfect. There's always going to be times where we may have opened the door to the enemy. And it doesn't always have to be something dramatic, like through witchcraft, right? It could be us opening a spiritual door by being angry, because the Bible says, be angry, but do not sin. We could have unforgiveness. There's so many different ways that we can still kind of backslide and reopen that door. So it's not going to hurt. It's literally just prayer. You know, even if it's infirmity, you want to sometimes do deliverance.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you mentioned that too, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but so me growing up in church, I feel like I've been around a lot of situations where people kind of are hot and cold in their faith. Like one minute they're on fire, the next minute they're kind of struggling to maintain that fire, you know, in all transparency, have you ever experienced something like that in your faith walk thus far that you've kind of felt like, man, I'm kind of struggling to read my word today, or I'm experiencing, you know, some tough things in life that are kind of, you know, discouraging to my spirit, man? Have you experienced that on your journey? Because I find that, and it's a lot of unlearning that I'm doing, but I find that I tend to think, and I guess this is the by works sort of mindset, like, oh my gosh, like God's going to punish me for like yelling about this or anything at all with life. Like I always think like, oh my gosh, punishment's gonna come like immediately. Or I sometimes do struggle even still, like being like so like main, like most consistent I've ever been in my faith journey, and there are times where like I find myself still feeling discouraged Have you ever experienced mm-hmm. that?
Absolutely. I mean, because we're still human, you know? And I think one reason that people like kind of cling to me and my channel and my teachings is because I'm very transparent. There's multiple times where God has had to snatch me up. Because if you don't stay at his feet, then there are a lot of things that may be going on around you that you don't even know. You know, you're not going to be privy to what is taking place and what you need to be doing if you don't stay at his feet. If you don't, especially with the mantle that I have, it's not just about me, right? I have other people that I'm also responsible for sharing things that God tells me to share or warning. And so I literally just did a video about this myself where I felt as though I was putting everything else before the time that I was supposed to spend with the Lord. Because when you don't give yourself like an outlet and all you're doing is just, you know, ministry or kids or household or whatever, you get burnt out, right? And then it feels like a chore. And it was starting to feel like a chore because when I study, it's not 20 minutes, okay? I might be sitting there studying for 2 hours.
That's a fact. No, because like, think about it. Like, you're a YouTuber as well. You're a content creator. And it's like, it's what we do. So everything we do requires like reading the scripture and all these different things. So you kind of get into these modes sometimes where it's like you wake up and you're like, I already have to do this technically. Like, it sounds bad, but it's like for my job. So it's like, do I want, like, I'll do it later or whenever I'm going to film, I'll do it then, you know, just keeping it real.
Yeah.
That's what we go through. So, you know, I really appreciate you sharing that with me because it's so easy to feel like, oh my gosh, is it just me that's experiencing this? Like, and then just like having these thoughts I ruminate on like, oh my gosh, like, like when will I finally like feel like I really have it all together. But it's like that, then we wouldn't need faith. We wouldn't need faith then. We wouldn't need to rely on God if we are constantly going to always have the strength. So I always remind myself the joy of the Lord is my strength, you know, no matter what it is that I'm experiencing and going through. So do you have any closing remarks, Naja, before we wrap everything up?
Well, one thing I wanted to add to that was for people to make sure that they're not offering futile sacrifices. And futile definitely means like useless. There's no point to it. And so a lot of times when we are not giving God our all and we're kind of just throwing him the, you know, the sacrifice that really is not coming from a heart place, like worshiping in spirit and in truth. That's what I want to leave with people is to make sure that you're actually worshiping in spirit and in truth, which means your whole heart, your mind, your body, all of you, you are giving to the Lord and you are worshiping in truth, which means what the word says for you to do. And you're not offering sacrifices that are worthless, that are really no point to it because you're really not even, you know, you're doing it just to say you're doing it, but there's no point behind it. It's not affecting anything. So, but I would definitely, aside from that, in regards to the testimony aspect, just like to say that I always say you don't have to listen. If you're someone that is currently battling or you're practicing any of these things, you don't have to listen to me. You don't have to listen to Aisha or anyone else. We tell you to test the spirit, which doing that means you go to God humbly and you ask him, hey, Jesus, if you're real, if I'm practicing this in error, if this is really demons and this is not what I'm supposed to be doing, reveal it to me. And you have to do it humbly, not doing it to prove he's not going to respond or doing it to prove that he's not real. You have to humbly want the answer and he will reveal it to you. He will do the same way that he did for me, he will do for you. So I'm not coming as a self-righteous person to condemn, but from experience in order to help other people recognize this before it's too late.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Thank you so much. And you know, it's actually funny. I do have one more question.
Okay.
Because I do get this question quite often. So when it comes to repentance, sometimes I feel like based on my own life and just things that I've seen in my walk that let's just say you're struggling with a certain sin and you're like repenting for it, but you kind of feel like, is there a point in continuing to repent if I feel like this is such a weak spot of mine? Like, it's this weird feeling of like, am I abusing God's grace? Or should I just like, you start to feel like the enemy speaks to your mind where you feel like, oh my gosh, like, why am I bothering repenting of this when I feel like I keep falling into, you know, let's just say cursing people out or something like that. I keep on slipping up. And then how do you immediately just go and say, oh, okay, I just repented. I know God's word says he forgives me. He forgets my sin no more. But in my flesh, I'm not feeling that, even though I know I should, I just repented and God does forgive me. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah,
it's so difficult navigating through that because it's like, otherwise, like, you can easily spend like every day repenting over the same thing. And it feels like, all right, like, am I just abusing grace here? Does God even really believe me? Like, do I even believe myself? Because he's forgetting, but I'm not. So it almost makes me feel like I'm not really forgetting.
Right.
Like, what is your take on that?
Well, first of all, God knows our heart. Number one, he knows whether or not you're abusing, you know, the grace by saying, oh, I can just stay how I am as long as I repent. There's a difference between a person who truthfully in their heart wants to stay the same. They don't really have a desire to be healed from that or to live a righteous life. They kind of casually allow themselves to stay in that space and just use, oh, I can just repent afterwards as an escape goat, rather than a person who is truthfully crying out behind closed doors to the Lord to please heal me and remove this from me. I feel that I am grieving the Holy Spirit when this is happening. So Lord, please remove this from me. He knows what is the difference, right? And we know whether or not we're doing it from a place of sincerity or whether or not we're just using the repentance as a escape goat to keep remaining and staying the same. Sinning or not sinning, but repenting, the purpose of that is to turn away from the act. So if we're repenting, but we're not actively doing things to fight, to turn away from it, whether it's fasting, whether it is, you know, saying specific prayers, praying the scriptures for God to remove that, you know, that issue, then you're kind of like kind of staying in it and you're okay with, you know, how it's manifesting, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. I had someone mention this to me recently because they had gotten baptized. And I was like, oh, yeah, I got baptized, too, and everything. And like the enemy really came in. And like I was so appreciative of that person sharing what they were sharing, because I was like, oh, my gosh, like, you know, baptism is such a huge thing. You know, fasting also is such a huge thing. And to be like struggling with sin in the midst or right after those things feels like, all right, am I just going straight to hell? Like, this is crazy right now. Yeah.
One thing I can say the Holy Spirit just put on my heart to share is that people need to recognize that he's not wanting you to come to him already squeaky clean, right? So if you're someone who is coming to the Lord, be in expectation of him changing you the more you seek him. We can't expect for just, you know, adopting the title of being a Christian and going to church to be enough. If we're battling with a sin, the more we seek Christ and invite him in on a daily basis, the more word we put in us, then the wicked things will then begin to dissipate and remove itself, right? So that's why when we say, you know, hey, if you're battling with this, you're battling with that, come to the Lord, allow him in time to fix you and change you. But you have to actually be actively seeking him for that to happen.
Yes, like Matthew 6:33, you know. Naja, thank you so much. I mean, it is just always such a pleasure speaking with you. And I'm so happy you finally got to share your testimony with people. Yes. It's been a long time coming, guys. Yes. Like, I've been wanting her to do this for the longest time. That's like today I was like, the devil is a liar. I need to get this girl on the show. Like, I have to, we have to hear her story, because this is something that has truly captured the souls of millennials. I mean, it's not, it's really nothing really new. It has evolved over time, but just like new ageism and and all the deception that comes with it, and astrology and all those different things. So thank you so much. Thank you for your wisdom and your kind words, and all of Naja's information, her book, as well as all her social media handles will be in the show notes. Thank you so much, Naja. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Aisha. I appreciate it so much.
Absolutely. And with that being said, guys, do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next podcast episode. Mwah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.